Fall History Interview with Deborah Wade, 9/16/93. Okay. First question would be, where were you when you first heard the word AIDS or heard of AIDS as a disease? What were your first memories?
I was in Lexington, Kentucky. Probably on my job. Think about it in the context of being a social worker. I remember an associate working to start, try to get an AIDS hospice opened in Lexington. And they were receiving a lot of flack from the community, and no one wanted the hospice in their area. It was going to be a house that could have 8 people stay there, and they were going to have people rotate staying there. And I remember thinking, well, gosh, you know, do we really have a need for that? You know, you think there's 8 people who have this disease here in Lexington, Kentucky? Aren't they all in California and New York? And I suppose really feeling quite confident that it was a disease that was contained within the gay community, and therefore didn't feel like it, quote, affected me.
Absolutely. What were your first impressions of this clinic when you first came here, or the old clinic that was on Chocolate Street? What were your impressions when you were approached about the job?
Those are two very different things. I'll do the last one first. When I was approached about the job, I was at home. My child was taking a nap. I had only recently moved to this state, bound and determined to not work. I always thought that those stay-at-home moms had the life of Raleigh, and I was going to be one of those. Not seeking employment, not interested in employment. And the phone rang, and someone that I didn't know asked if I were in fact Deborah Wade and if I in fact had my master's degree in social work. And I remember thinking, you know, who is this, and is this any of your business, and why are you calling me? And then right off the bat wanted to know if I was interested in applying to be the director of the AIDS Medical Clinic. And I said, the what? And she said, the AIDS Medical Clinic. I said, no, thank you. I mean, I didn't even skip a beat. My husband is a Presbyterian minister, and he had come home not maybe the week even before, telling me that he had heard in a minister's group that he had been in that there was an AIDS Medical Clinic located in our county. And some other ministers were saying to him, you ought to, you know, find out about it, look into it, learn about it, that sort of thing. And I remember then thinking, oh, well, you know, that's interesting. How many AIDS patients could they have here? I mean, we came from Lexington. I was a social worker. I was not aware of very many cases at all there, and Lexington's about 6 times larger than Anniston, you know, so I just couldn't imagine that there was even a need for one. Why'd they have one if they didn't even need one? So when she approached me about applying for a job, you know, I had heard of the clinic, but I was very surprised that someone unsolicited, you know, had called me and asked me to apply. And I said, I have no background in working with HIV/AIDS. Took 1 8-hour course, mandatory course for licensed social workers, and was angry at having to take that. It was a Saturday, and it was raining, and I had to get up early and drive to another county and sit for 8 hours and listen to AIDS education. And I remember then thinking, this doesn't affect me. Primarily because I was heterosexual. And the person called me back another time. We talked a little bit. and she was interested in my husband's background and some of the other, we had been involved in some things, touching around the civil rights movement and things like that, and we shared some common interests. So she, you know, continued to call back and kept talking about the clinic. And finally I agreed. Oh, then they had someone else, the board president, call me. They pulled in the big gun and had her call me. And I remember she had a very southern-sounding accent. I think now I know it's more of a North Carolina accent, but very sweet, invited me to lunch and wanted me to talk with her about it. I went to lunch thinking, you know, I'll get a free lunch. Get out of the house. Those stay-at-home mom days were becoming a bit boring at that point. The life of Riley was a little boring, I thought. And I liked her very much, and I remember being impressed that she would be on the board of directors of an AIDS medical clinic. It seemed like something on the outskirts of all the social issues that I had been involved in, and it was much safer to, you know, be on the board of the American Cancer Society and the Heart Fund and whatever. And then she asked, would I agree to meet with some of the other board and the physician and submit a resume, so they knew a little of my background, and told me they were really looking for someone with administrative background. It wasn't absolutely necessary that I be all that knowledgeable about HIV/AIDS, because the physician and other people who work here were, and I could learn that, but they needed a director and an administrator, which I had several years of experience doing that. So I agreed to meet them. And I remember when I saw Dr. Hannah, I mean, I saw her first when I walked in, because I got all dressed up, you know, in pantyhose and high heels and lipstick and things like that.
I'm
things
sure
I,
she had on her sweatpants.
She had on an old flannel shirt with her, you know, sleeves rolled up, and her hair looked like it hadn't been touched in a while, and everyone else was dressed up, you know, real business, you know, dress for success, business attire for the today's woman, and except for the physician. And I didn't obviously know right off that she was the physician, but when they told me that that's who it was, I thought, I like her. I can relate to this person. I consider myself an old hippie. And that attracted me very much. And in talking with her, she impressed me right off the bat. Obviously very knowledgeable, concerned individual. And she spoke to me in terms that, you know, were not trying to convince me that this was a duty that, you know, as a social worker I needed to be concerned about this, or as a Christian I needed to be concerned about this, or you know, any of those kinds of emotional pleas or pulls that are often used. But she spoke to me in terms of this is the exciting place to be in the field of medicine. We're on the cutting edge of discovering new drugs and looking for vaccines. And, you know, this is a relatively new virus. A lot of research, a lot of energy is going into this. If you're looking for a new direction, a new career, to be on the cutting edge of science, this is the place to be. You know, it's kind of like Star Trek going beyond. It's like, I'll get on board. I'll do it. I mean, I immediately felt a sense of excitement. Prior to that, I had felt a sense of fear. I remember when I was first approached in the phone call thinking, I can't do that. I have a child, you know, and I cannot risk bringing a terrible disease home, you know. I just, you know, who would want to do that, even if you were single with no children? I mean, I just assumed, like many people I know now, that you could, you know, walk into the same room, the same building, and possibly catch this virus or some other horrible something that they were carrying. But I didn't feel that way. She made me, you know, not even think along those lines. She made me feel excited. Of course, this was all coupled with getting bored, staying at home. you know, you can only write so many letters back home. I miss you, I miss you, I miss you. So I agreed to a trial basis. I said, I would like to, you know, to give it 3 months and see how I liked it, and for them to see how they like me. And I wasn't ready to start. You know, it was November, Thanksgiving was coming up and all that sort of thing, and I had all these, whenever you move, all these people come to your house all the time. So I said, may I start in January? No, we need you now, we need you now. It's like, I can't do it now. But I did. I finally started only on a 3-day-a-week basis, part-time during November and December, and was going to start on a more regular basis in January. And I went to the little house, and I had been working with the big government before. I was in real, you know, tall skyscraper buildings, elevators, you know, a lot of money put into the decor, changing the carpeting every 2-3 years. This was a little old house. There wasn't even space for me to have an office. I'd been a director before, and as a director working for the government, I had the biggest office of anyone. I had all the plush little, nice little perks, and it was like, well, you know, you're the least important person here. We need you to keep our books and to do this and to do that, but we don't have space for you to have an office because our doctor needs this and our therapist needs this and our social worker needs this, and, you know, we have to have this and this. And it put me right into perspective that... you know, there's a lot of important work that needs to go along here, and they needed an administrator, but in the government, in my work before, it's kind of like the Peter principle. You know, learn your job very well down on the ground level, and as you improve, you keep getting moved up, and eventually you're the boss, and you no longer know how to type. You can't do the copy machine. You can't do the fax machine. You don't know anything. You rely entirely on your secretary and your staff to do everything, and you pull in the big bucks. And I had been in that system for long enough that I remember feeling threatened that, you know, I basically didn't have a staff to do things for me. We all had our job to do, and everyone's job was equally important. It took everyone to add their little piece of the puzzle in to make it whole. And, you know, mine was one of the more boring ones. But as director, I wasn't, you know, just some big boss sitting up in the top floor office ordering people around. And I was very impressed by the self-motivation that the staff had. And I started seeing all the patients come in, and there wasn't even room for us to pass each other in the hall. It was so crowded. And I remember thinking, where are these people coming from? You know, do they really have this? I mean, look at this, look at this. And began my journey of learning a lot about HIV/AIDS and stripping the myth and things away from my own biases and prejudices about the disease, learning that it's something that we're all at risk for. And one of the first times working with a group of people who were very self-motivated and were there not simply to earn a paycheck, but were there because they were committed to the cause, so to speak. Even though they might be scorned in the community, I soon learned that folks in the community at large, for the many folks, assume that anyone who worked at the clinic must be HIV positive themselves, or why else would they work there? And, you know, I had that fear that by going to work there, I would become HIV positive by walking in the door. So I understood that fear, and I tried not to be harsh with people, but to explain in medical and scientific terminologies why that was not possible, and that, you know, I understand why you can think that, because there is so little knowledge. And kind of found my niche, I think, then, not as just the director keeping the books and doing that stuff, but began to get to do a lot of the public relations and to go out and speak to groups. And I think I was prepared by my own lack of knowledge and the amount that I gained in a relatively short period of time and could speak to people on the basis that, you know, here I am, the director, and I too had these same thoughts, these same fears that you had. And now I'm here to tell you how I overcame them and how you can also, and why you should, and things like that.